UANG, and I'm a tax policy specialist with the Interpretations and Technical Advice Division of the Department of Revenue. I will be the facilitator for this public hearing. It is 10:03 on December 6, 2022, and we'd like to thank you all for taking the time to attend this meeting and provide us with your feedback. Please note that we are able to consider your comments if you provide them to us in writing, which can be sent to me at michaelhw@dor.wa.gov. That is spelled michaelhw@dor.wa.gov. We will now begin the scheduled public hearing for solicitation of comments regarding the proposed language for WAC 458-20-300, or Rule 300, titled Capital Gains Excise Tax, Overview and Administration. Electronic copies of this rule are available. If you did not receive a copy, please contact Sierra Crumbaker at sierrac@dor.wa.gov. That is spelled sierrac@dor.wa.gov if you'd like to receive a copy of the rule draft. We emphasize that the rule draft, as it is now written, is provided for discussion purposes only. Other persons present for this hearing include Atif Aziz, as his role as the department's rules coordinator, and Sierra, as I just mentioned, as a management analyst who is monitoring our recording equipment this morning, as this hearing is being recorded. We're conducting this hearing in person in room 252 of the 6400 Linderson Way building, as well as through Microsoft Teams. Participants are joined through Microsoft Teams or through the phone at the moment, and we do not have any parties physically present at the moment. Therefore, I will now go down the list of attendees displayed in Microsoft Teams. For the record, please identify yourself, and if you are representing someone, please state who you are representing. Since we have some participants joining by the phone, I will go ahead and call up the phone numbers, and if you could please identify yourself, and if you're representing someone, tell us who you're representing, we'd appreciate it. So I will go down the list of phone numbers. We have 206-353-1232.
It's John Katsandris with KLM Consulting.
Thank you very much. Next on the list, we have 206-432-5010. Okay, and we have 360-504-9972. Okay, and we also have a participant with a number by 360-833-1245. Okay, moving on to the list of participants that have joined through Microsoft Teams, I will go down the list, and my apologies ahead of time for any mispronunciations. So first I have Adil Koja.
Yeah, Adil Koja, representing myself.
Okay, thank you very much. Next, we have Amy Kaffiser, advisor. For those of you who are just joining, if you could please identify yourself for the record and tell us if you're representing someone, we appreciate it. And I'm just going down the list of attendees that are joining us through Microsoft Teams at the moment. Okay, next we have Amy Lavoisier.
Yep, Amy Lavoisier, representing myself.
Okay, thank you very much. Sorry, I think I need to adjust the volume a little bit on my end. Okay, thank you. And next we have Andy Nicholas.
Hello, Andy Nicholas with the Washington State Budget and Policy Center.
Thank you very much. And next we have Ashley Freudig.
Ashley Freudig with Moss Adams.
Thank you very much for joining. Next, we have Michelle Baszler.
Michelle Baszler with KPMG.
Thank you very much for joining. Next, we have Ben Armstrong.
Yeah, I just hear for myself.
Thank you very much. Next, we have Christine Berfomier.
Yes, I'm representing Petrochem Insulation.
Thank you very much for joining. Next, we have Michael Bologna.
I'm a reporter with Bloomberg Tax.
Thank you very much for joining. Next, we have Brian Aragon.
Hi, I'm Brian, and I'm with Amazon.
Thank you very much for joining. Next, we have Carmen Aguiar.
Carmen Aguiar, the Aguiar Group.
Thank you very much. Next, we have Chance. That's the only name.
It's Chase, and I'm representing myself.
Okay, sorry about that. Next, we have Christina Wise.
Christina Wise with Price Waterhouse.
Thank you very much. Next, we have Connor.
Connor Waka with TKCPA.
Thank you very much. Next, we have Curtis Creamer. Moving on, we have next Dee Fisher. Okay, moving on, we have David Blaylock.
David Blaylock, representing Archer Halliday.
Thank you very much, my apologies. Next, we have Diane Serrano. Okay, next we have Doug Smith.
Douglas Smith with Lintron Incorporated.
Thank you very much. And next we have Doug Guyman.
Yes, Douglas Guyman, myself.
Yep, thank you very much. Next we have Eva Gremmert.
Eva Gremmert, HBG Services.
Thank you very much. Next we have, I'm sorry, the name is cut off from my end, but it seems to be Samantha Fong.
Yes, I'm Samantha Fong from Thomson Reuters. I cover Washington for Tax News.
Thank you very much. And next we have George Walker.
With Perry Shelton Walker Associates.
Thank you very much. And next we have Anton Gross.
Anton Gross, Policy Analyst, Washington State House of Representatives.
Next, we have Jade Copieters.
Jade Copieters, Scarf Law Firm, not representing any clients.
Okay, thank you very much. Next, we have James Hartfixen.
James Hartfixen, representing TechSoc.
Thank you very much. Next, we have James Wong.
James Wong, representing myself.
Thank you very much. Next, we have Janice Brady. Okay, and I'm going to, okay. Next we have Jeff Garber.
Representing Sunset Air.
Thank you. Next we have Jeff Knave.
Not representing anyone.
Thank you. Next we have Jennifer Ball Smith.
Not representing anyone.
Thank you very much. Next we have John Katz-Sanders.
Yep, KOM Consulting.
Thank you very much. Next we have Joyce Ferrier.
Michael Larson Company.
Thank you very much. Next, we have Julie LaPrairie.
Yes, not representing anyone.
Thank you very much. Next, we have David Lindsay.
Not representing anyone.
Thank you very much. Next, we have Michael Whitmore.
Representing HMA.
Thank you very much. Next, we have PM Leonard.
Patrick Leonard for Gibson, Woodruff, and Brady.
Thank you very much for joining. Next, we have Randy Springer.
Randy Springer, representing Integrated Tax Services.
Okay, thank you. My apologies. Next, we have Alyssa Rouse.
Yes, not representing anyone.
Okay, thank you very much. Next, we have Rebecca McCarthy.
McCarthy and Company.
Thank you very much. Next, we have Ron Johansson. Excuse me. Okay, moving on. We have Ross McIver.
Representing Bauer Evans, CPAs.
Thank you very much. Next, we have Sarah Nicole.
Yes, this is Sarah Nicole with PwC.
Thank you very much. Next, we have Sissy Son.
Songroth, representing Baird Wealth Management.
Okay, thank you very much. Next, we have Tanya Gitch.
Tanya Gitch with Geffen Mesher.
Thank you very much. Next, we have Tim Dilley.
Tim Dilley, Cordell Nair and Company.
Thank you very much. Next, we have Trish Searcy.
No, I just represented myself.
Okay, thank you very much. And next, we have someone from TBW. Streaming. Okay, next we have Weldon Burton. Okay, then we have Wenju Zhang.
I'm not representing anyone.
Thank you very much. Next we have Dave Wiley.
Hi, Dave Wiley, Williams Kastner.
Thank you very much. Then we have Zoe Foltz.
Not representing anyone.
Thank you very much. If I missed you, my apologies, but please identify yourself for record and state if you're representing someone.
Peter Hagelin, representing Companion Portfolio Management.
Thank you.
Jillian Robinson, not representing anyone.
Thank you.
Craig Lester, CPA, not representing anyone.
Thank you very much. Okay, thank you. And those of us, for those participants who have joined recently, we appreciate it if you can check to see if your microphone is muted so that we don't have overlapping noises. Okay, proceeding with the public hearing. This public hearing is being conducted pursuant to the provisions of Chapter 3405 RCW, the Administrative Procedure Act. The purpose of this hearing is to solicit comments from the public and on to the proposed Rule 300. This hearing was announced through a publication in the State Washington State Register as WSR 22-22-101, which was filed with the Code Reviser on November 2nd, 2022. We will consider any comments received pertaining to the proposed rule draft. We appreciate receiving written comments and will evaluate all comments as we proceed with this rulemaking process. You may send written comments to the attention of myself, Michael Huang, no later than December 9th at the following email address, michaelhw@dor.wa.gov. In this way, the department can fully consider your comment before proceeding. And further into the hearing, I would like to offer an introduction. Effective January 1st, 2022, Chapter 8287 RCW imposes an excise tax on sales or exchanges of long-term capital assets. This proposed rule seeks to clarify administrative aspects of the excise tax on capital gains, such as proper filing procedures and penalties related to this excise tax. In March 2022, the Douglas County Superior Court ruled in Quinn v. State of Washington that the capital gains excise tax, Senate Bill 5096, does not meet state constitutional requirements and therefore is unconstitutional and invalid. The state has appealed the ruling to the Washington State Supreme Court. An oral argument is scheduled on January 26, 2023. The Department of Revenue is engaging in rulemaking to ensure that the state can comply with the legislature's directive to be ready to collect the tax in April 2023, and so that taxpayers have all essential information related to the administration of the capital gains tax in the event the tax is ruled constitutional. When this rule is ready for adoption, if the Supreme Court has not issued this ruling, the department will include language for the CR-103 form and a note to the official published rule indicating that the validity of the capital gains excise tax is under review by the Washington State Supreme Court and that the rule will apply only if tax is ruled constitutional and valid by the court. If the Supreme Court upholds the capital gains tax, we will ask the code revisor to remove this note. If the Supreme Court invalidates the tax, we will retain the note and repeal the rule through expedited rulemaking. In addition to this rulemaking project, the Department of Revenue also plans to make its online tax reporting system available to taxpayers in early 2023. In the absence of a final ruling from the Supreme Court prior to April 18th, 2023, the online system will be available to taxpayers to report and pay the tax. If the tax is ruled invalid by the Supreme Court, the agents will issue refunds with interest. Now, excuse me to get into the substantive issues or the aspects of this rule draft. I will briefly outline the key points as follows. The rule introduces and clarifies administrative issues that pertain to the Washington capital gains excise tax through six general parts. First part is introduction and overview. Second part is filing of returns. Third part is extensions. Fourth part is payment of tax. Fifth part is penalties and interest. And sixth part is general administrative matters. In the first part, the rule introduces general concepts related to Washington capital gains excise tax, such as who may be subject to the excise tax. In the second part, the rule discusses matters related to filing of returns, such as due date.
The audio cut out.
Michael, the audio just cut out. Yeah. Oh, it's still off. Okay, now it should be on.
Okay. My apologies for that. I can go back a couple of steps. I'm not sure where exactly I was cut off, but in the second part, the rule discusses matters related to filing of returns, such as due dates, filing requirements, and amended return requirements. More details regarding filing amended returns have been added for clarification. In the third part, the rule discusses matters related to extensions. More details regarding the extension application process has been added. In the fourth part, the rule discusses matters related to payments, such as the proper payment requirements. Examples have been modified slightly for clarification. In the fifth part, the rule discusses matters related to penalties and interest, such as penalties for late filings and late payments. In the sixth and final part, the rule discusses other administrative matters, such as the taxpayer's burden of proof, procedures for refunds, and how to seek an informal review of the department's assessments or rulings. At this time, we'd like to hear any comments, and as a logistical matter, we will first ask for comments from participants that have joined by phone. And then I will turn for comments to the participants that have joined through Microsoft Teams. Please use the raise hand function on Microsoft Teams. After I call your name, please identify yourself for the record before providing your comments. For those on the phone, I will go back to you at the very end to see if I missed any comments from the phone participants. Remember, as mentioned earlier, we are best able to consider your comments in the rulemaking process if you provide them to us in writing to michaelhw@ur.wa.gov. I will now begin accepting comments and perhaps answering some questions. And I will go down. What's the best way to do this? I will ask just generally if there are any participants that have joined by phone that have any comments related to Rule 300. Okay, I would certainly like to hear from you, so I will come back to the phone participants for any additional comments that I might be able to consider. I will now turn to participants that have joined through Microsoft Teams. Again, please double check to make sure that your microphones are all muted. And if you'd like to provide a comment, please use the raise your hand function. Please, also, if you'd like to use the chat function, I would appreciate and welcome that as well. And Sierra, I'm sorry, I can't really quickly go through the list of participants and those who have raised their hands.
Looks like Janice Brody.
Janice?
I can see it here.
This is not really, I just can't see the hands here. Please provide us with your name and your comment, please. Janice?
Janice, you're muted.
Still can't hear you.
Janice, you're muted again. We can't hear you.
Janice, we're having trouble hearing you, but I can come back to you if you'd like.
And Michael, there is a comment in the chat.
Yes. Let's
see. I can read it to you if that'd be easier.
Could you do that, please? Yeah, thank you. There's just too much stuff going on here.
Yeah, PM Leonard would like a conversation about the penalties if the court deems this constitutional after the due date.
When it comes to penalties, as it relates to the ongoing litigation, that is something that we'd like to address in a form of guidance, but that does not address that. This rule does not address that situation specifically, unless it is under unique circumstances. If you could submit a written comment, I think I'll be able to best provide you with an answer on that. But thank you for that comment.
Do the comments orally, let's not use chat.
Okay, I'm able to see the chat now.
Yeah, we're not going to do chat. This should be audio.
Oh, okay.
If you have any comments, please use a raise hand function and provide it orally. We are not going to be using chat to answer questions.
We just need your comments on the record, that's why. Yes, Patrick, right?
Yeah, it's Patrick. Just wondering, it seems to me earlier in this process, I read that the real estate sales would be exempt. Is that still the case?
Yes, that is the case.
And then I have one other that I can, I guess it's gone. I was going to read my partner's comment, Janice Brady, but I'll let Janice chime in and ask. I'm going to mute myself.
Thank you. Just for clarification, we haven't addressed the real estate exemption yet, but if we do have additional guidance, I suppose we can, we would release something, but as of now, we do not have any specific guidance on any issues that could pertain to the real estate exemption. But if you had a specific question with perhaps more surrounding fact patterns, I can happily look into that for you.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Thank you for a comment. Janice, are you able to provide a follow-up comment?
Can you close the gate for your sister?
I cannot hear you.
I can read her comment. I can see it here. Sure. She says, is the term capital gains unconstitutional? Question mark. Is the state looking at other terms? Or is there a part of the existing, and I can't, oh, Seymour, is there a part of the existing terminology that is unconstitutional? Is that it? You're welcome. You're welcome, Janice.
Yeah, thank you for reading that out. Not quite sure what this question is asking, but for clarification of the term capital gains, for purposes of Chapter 8287 RCW, I will invite Janice to refer to 8287.020 in the definition section. Other than that, that's the legislative definition that has been provided by the statute. Can't really comment on whether or not that is unconstitutional, because I imagine that is something being addressed by the courts. And we have Chance.
Yeah, I was wondering, will there be any other exemptions considered aside from real estate? Something maybe similar to the QSBS by the federal government for small business owners?
Yeah, thank you for your question. Any additional exemptions would have to come through the legislative process. The department would not have authority to provide exemptions beyond what is provided through the statutes.
There are several other exemptions.
And there are, yes, there are a lot of exemptions that you'd be able to look at. But if you'd like clarification on the existing exemptions, I would invite you to provide me with your written comment, and I'd be able, more than happy to answer any questions regarding exemptions or how it may apply to a specific fact pattern.
Great, thanks. I'll send you an email.
Okay, thank you very much. And Sierra, if it might be helpful, could you provide my email address in the chat box? Just in case folks didn't catch that part.
Yes, I will.
Thank you. Got a couple of comments from chat. Again, if you could please use audio means to ask to provide us with your comments, we'd appreciate that.
Agrees from Rebecca McCarthy.
Yes, Rebecca McCarthy, please go ahead.
Will the calculation for capital gain allow for a step up in situations of an estate?
A step up in situations related to estate.
Starts with your federal capital gains.
Yeah, I'm not certain of the relationship between estate and capital gains tax, but I believe those would be two different things. Capital gains is based on your net long-term capital gains, which may or may not be related to one's size of one's estate.
I think she's talking about the basis step up that happens on the decedent's death. So,
correct.
The person inheriting the asset would inherit the same basis. So,
okay. I do not believe that's really a capital gains question, but if you would like a specific, more detailed answer, I can provide one to you. But I would not believe that any step-up basis when it comes to estate transfers would affect your capital gains.
No, I think it would. When you inherit the asset from the estate, you inherit the same basis. So when you sell your assets, when you sell whatever you've inherited, your gain will be determined, calculated based on the basis that was transferred to you. So Washington capital gains tax starts with the federal capital gain. So whatever capital gain is calculated for federal tax purposes, it would apply for.
I guess that's a simple way of looking at it. You start with the long-term federal capital gains. If the estate transfer has those consequences, then yes, there might be. I'm sorry for the confusion.
Alexa, stop the music.
Yes, sir, King.
Yes. Hello. I just repeat the same question that it was in the meeting chat about offsetting long-term capital gains with short-term losses. Is it possible?
Under the definition that is provided under RCW 8287020, short-term gains or losses are not factored in when you're calculating that federal long-term capital gains. So there would be no room for short-term capital gains or losses to be applied in the calculation.
Okay.
It's only... Yes, go ahead.
But I can apply the long-term capital loss towards the long-term capital gain. Okay, but it's just this pair, no other combination.
Yeah, it's just long-term gain or loss depending on the situation.
Gotcha. Thank you very much. Comment. Yeah, thank you.
Again, those of us, for those participants who have just joined, we are accepting your comments on Rule 300. If you could please raise your hand in Microsoft Teams and identify yourself for record. Yes, Alyssa. Alyssa Rauch. You are muted if you're speaking.
My apologies. Yes. Will underpayment penalties be waived for the 2022 tax year for the first year for estimate payments?
We will most likely provide some sort of information and guidance when it comes to these issues that Rule 300 unfortunately doesn't address that specific situation. So please, or you could provide a written comment. I'd be able to provide you with a written answer.
Can we talk about this after I'm done listening to this? Because we've talked about it before, but I feel like you're just not listening to what I'm saying. So can we talk about it after I'm done listening to this? Yes?
Yes, Doug.
Yes. Can net long-term capital losses be carried forward for use in future years to offset future long-term capital gains?
Sorry, just to understand your question. Your question is whether long-term capital, net long-term capital losses be applied to future long-term capital gains to offset that gain. Is that correct?
Yes. And if so,
General,
and if how many years?
Generally speaking, carryover of losses are not allowed. So I think that is a simple way of looking at it. So if you have a long-term capital loss for this upcoming tax year, or any remaining losses after netting your long-term gains and losses, those losses wouldn't carry over to the 2023 tax year. As the law is currently written.
So this is unlike the federal tax structure.
Yes.
So the federal statement that one submits would be inconsistent with what it submits to the state.
Yes, as long as the carryovers, loss carryovers are concerned, yes, there's a difference.
So the federal tax return becomes irrelevant then?
No, for federal tax return, and Tiff, you can provide more information if I forget to cover some bases. But as far as your federal tax return goes, your calculation of Washington capital gains would start from your net long-term capital gains figure on your federal tax return.
But that would be a different number under the federal and state provisions as you're describing.
Possibly, yes.
Yes.
And you can carry forward as long as there's a federal loss, you can carry that forward.
Yes, I was just speaking in a general sense.
I don't understand. I have no understanding of what you're saying. So please clarify.
Yeah, Doug, if you could, I can actually provide you with a written answer. I think it'd be, I would have more time to. I'd be able to better explain this concept to you through an email. So if you'd like to write me an email, I can provide a written answer for you. And I'm sorry about the confusion.
If I submit an email, how soon could I expect an answer?
You will be sending it to me, so I'll be on top of it.
How soon is that?
I can't really commit to a specific deadline, but I do take and respond to, or at least take note of all the written comments that are sent to in my direction.
But hi, this is Sarah.
I've emailed questions before, and it's taken more than 40 days to respond. And is that the standard I should be thinking of?
My apologies for the delay, but. Questions, it's a newer text, so it's taking longer than usual to respond, but we do try to turn around and answer taxpayer questions as soon as possible.
Just to clarify, the purpose of this hearing is to address comments or questions related to the rule draft. So if you have comments or questions not related to the rule draft, we're not necessarily going to be able to answer your questions or comments today, but you can submit them and we can look them over and provide feedback as we work through them.
Sarah?
Yes, I just wanted to touch on the last comment. I would like to understand the answer to the email as well. So given individuals are emailing the department, how would the broader group be able to obtain the answers to those questions as well? Do we all need to email individually, or is there a way that it could be disseminated amongst, you know, the broader group?
You can submit a letter ruling request. That's available on the department's website. If we have public guidance on a particular question that we want to disseminate to the public, we'll do that through separate rulemaking, through the department's website. We have a section of the website dedicated to capital gains tax. There's an FAQ on that. So those are resources available to you.
Sir T.
Yeah, hello, it's me again.
Yeah.
I have a question about not implementation, but so currently appeal is pending, and we need to pay taxes. What will happen to the money if appeal will be lost and tax will be repealed? What will happen to this money that we'll pay to the state? Will we get a check? What will be the interest rate on this money that the state will hold for the period of time? It can be like a year or 2 years.
You will, the department will definitely, if it is ruled invalid, department would issue a refund with the interest to back to you. Each one, I'm not aware of the specific mechanics of the refund process, but that's basically how it would work.
Okay, so we just need to pay. And if it will be repealed, then it will be extra guidance on how to ask for refund, or it will be automatically given.
Yes. And again, and these questions are really difficult to answer because, the issue hasn't been decided yet. So difficult to provide hypothetical answers, but in that situation, yes, refund would be issued with interest.
Gotcha. Thank you. Do you know of a time frame on top of your head when this tax will be reviewed and your decision will be made? Like a time frame, like next year, 2024?
Honestly, I do not have an answer for you.
Okay.
Awesome. I'm just not aware of the mechanics and
okay, sure.
How it would work.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you. Sorry about that. Sir, did you have an additional comment? Or your hand might have been up from your previous comment. And again, if the participants over the phone have comments that I'd like to share, I'd be happy to listen. back in. It's just wait for an additional minute or two for any last minute questions or comments that you might have on the administrative role.
This is Craig Lester on the phone. I'd like to make a couple comments and a few questions.
Yes, please.
Yes, Michael. The good people of the state of Washington over the last 50 years have consistently rejected a income tax in the state of Washington via vote. And I know we're not going to debate today how a capital gains tax morphs into an excise tax. But Mike, a couple questions. I know the courts will be deciding that. Let's see. One question I have is how in the world is a revenue projection of, I think it's $5 billion plus dollars was ever accumulated or calculated when you don't know what people's individual income tax situations are? Not that revenue should be the basis for instigating or putting into effect a new tax law. Also, is a 1031, I heard it's a capital gains tax on sales and exchanges. Would that be applicable also to a 1031 exchange, which is on real estate? I suspect it wouldn't, because we said real estate for now is not subject to this tax. And thirdly, why is the state choosing to go on the affirmative that the law, in fact, is going to pass when it hasn't been settled in the courts and have all these potential issues of refunds? Why not wait and let the court settle the issue and go forward at that point?
Yeah, thank you for your comments. I did not order your comments, so I might not answer your questions or comments in order, so I apologize for that. Like climate exchanges, 1031, substantive issues for those. Again, we would publish some sort of guidance on those interpretive issues. So please, you can provide me with an email with a fact pattern. I can happily take a look at that for you. Otherwise, we will be providing a published guidance on those interpretive sorts of issues. As for why not waiting during the until the Supreme Court has ruled on this matter, we're just trying to provide guidance ahead of time so that we cover all of our bases. We're just trying to provide the information to the public, realizing that the court has not ruled on it yet. It's just yeah, that's pretty much the best way I can put it for you. We're just trying to stay on top of providing guidance in this case to the public. Yeah, and we're basically just providing forms of guidance as much as possible. Knowing that the Supreme Court will be hearing this case in January.
Michael, yeah, okay, that's a fair comment. It just seems like it's more than just guidance. It seems like it's actually collecting the monies in advance of the law actually going into effect. But I appreciate your answer there. Could you address how the projected revenues from this potential tax have been calculated? It seems like a rather large number. It would have to be just billions and billions of dollars of transactions, that 7%, to come up with the projected revenue intake from the new law. So could you just, I don't know how that could be calculated when we don't have information, or maybe you do, I hope you don't, that individuals, what projected income taxes would be, or sales, of capital gain assets would take place that would be subject to the potential tax.
Yeah, again, thank you for your comments. And, you know, I try my best to address the comments from this hearing. For that specific point, I'm just not aware of, it's outside of my scope of knowledge, and I honestly wouldn't be able to answer that question for you.
Okay, that's a fair answer. I use it a lot. I don't know, but I'll get it. I'll try it by email later, or I'll check the website. Too much.
Okay, thank you very much. Yes, Carmen.
So just for a clarification again, and I guess there were a comment, as far as 1031 exchanges, right? The validity yes. of actually assessing a 7% tax on that, where there may be no cash proceeds.
Generally speaking, real estate transactions would be exempt from this tax as the law is written by few. Had a specific fact pattern. I think I'd be able to provide a much more detailed answer for you as opposed to just speaking out in generalities.
So even though if it's through a pass through entity, is there a difference there?
Not to try to get into too much of a deep dive here, but then. There would be a question of beneficial owners that would come into play if there are partnerships involved.
Correct. Thank you.
Yep, thank you very much. It will give participants another minute or two for any last minute comments, and we can adjourn the hearing. Yes, Connor.
Thanks, Michael. Has a form been published, or is there a date when a draft form will be available for us to see what this will actually look like for taxpayers to file?
Guidance as to what the tax form might look like, that is definitely something that the department will provide guidance on. I would actually consult with I'll see if I can gather more information or see how that's going, but it was our intention to provide some sort of a peek into what the return might look like.
Okay, thank you. But no known date at this time?
Pretty soon, I would imagine. But yes, it is guidance, or at least it is something that we'd like to provide information on to the public.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Jadra.
Okay, hello, good morning.
Morning.
Is Will the department be able to accept electronic filings of the form?
Yes, return filings will be made available through electronic means. And in fact, that is mandatory unless there's some circumstances, special circumstances. So the general rule of thumb is returns would have to be filed electronically.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I just have a quick follow-up to that.
Oh, yes. No, please go ahead.
I assume that also means that the department is working with the various like professional tax prep software companies so that professional tax preparers could file this form electronically while they're filing other federal and state forms?
I don't have specific knowledge to that, but it is something that I would imagine there would at least be some dialogue.
Okay, thank you.
I'm not 100% sure yeah. There's going to be third-party filing options yet. There okay. will definitely be a department filing, electronic filing available through the department's website. As far as third-party filing, I'm just not aware.
Sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, so maybe it'll be like the Portland Arts Tax or whatever that didn't have that capability at first and, you know, but they're building it in later kind of a thing.
Yes, of course.
Okay, got it. Thanks.
Thank you. And Carmen, I don't know if you had another follow-up question or if you just forgot to get rid of the raise hand from your last question. Okay, do we have any other last minute comments on Rule 300, the administrative aspects of the capital gains excise tax? Okay, I'll proceed with the closing remarks, at least for now. This has been the public hearing regarding the proposed Rule 300 titled Capital Gains Excise Tax Overview Administration. Based on comments made today or received in writing, additional changes may be made before the final rule is filed for adoption with the Office of the Code Revisor. Unlike today's public hearing, the final filing of the rule is not a public process. That filing is just a filing of the notice of adoption. Thank you for participating in the public hearing. If you're not on department's rule notification list, did not receive a copy of today's meeting directly from the department, and you want to be kept informed of future rulemaking activities related to this rule, please provide Sierra with your email, name, mailing address, and email address. Sierra can be contacted at her email at Sierra, SIERRAC at dor.wa.gov. The time is now 11:02 and the public hearing is now adjourned. Thank you for your participation and your comments.